one of the challenges of any new administration is they come in looking at policy. And at some point, you've got to make that shift and really start producing results. And so in this plan, I saw a very, very clear focus on execution and results. I think that will be a good thing.
A lot of the discussion that I've seen is people say, oh, great idea, let's absolutely do this, and then, okay, it's going to be challenging to actually get this done.
One of the things that I also liked about the proposal that they showed examples where people already had done a lot of the things that they were pushing for. As with any plan, there are some things that they can control and can cause to happen.
Right.
There are other things where they're dependent on Congress, for example, and that is anybody's guess.
I mean, we've seen it happen with the eGov funds. Oftentimes, you know, this was a creative fund where agencies almost forcing some spending across agencies rather than just focused on individual agencies. Congress, never a big fan of that.
What they're trying to achieve here might not have a better shot. Partially, I think maybe it's people getting used to the construct of it, but also I think demands of the deficit are such that there needs to be a way to look across government and particularly at what they call the commodity IT. I would, as they described it, I call it more the infrastructure of IT, but
yeah,
it only makes sense to do that in a more ordered way. And to have the best way to do that in an ordered way is to have the resources aligned. And they're not trying to interrupt the program side of things. So I think there's a better shot at this than there might have been in the past.
A lot of the software as a service, treating a lot of these things almost as utility, the back end systems, I've heard that talked about a lot, and the thing that I kept going through as I was reading through the document was a lot of these things, doing things on a modular basis, have been discussed for a long time and seem to be difficult to implement. And you mentioned implementation at the beginning. Why does there seem to be that disconnect between, I know I should be doing this, and yet it doesn't actually happen?
Well, often it's simply the inertia of, and lack of experience. But once you start talking about these things, it takes sometimes a long time, but over time, people get their minds around it and start making incremental decisions that move you there. I think what's happening here is they're trying to take a leap forward.
Yeah.
But one of the things, again, I liked about the way they approached the presentation was giving specific examples of things that actually had already occurred that demonstrated their point.
With something as a former CIO, and even when you were a CIO, they were talking about doing things in these modular ways. It was in Rain's rules almost 18 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
And yet something like that doesn't happen. My sense often is there's a number of factors. The budget process is so complex that you don't want to have to resubmit things into the budget process. So you try and almost throw everything into one felt swoop because you don't want to have to go through this process again. Are we getting to the place where the modular system doing things in small chunks becomes more feasible?
I think pieces of it, yes. But getting the alignment with the overall program focus and then being able to execute in a more modular way, that will be the trick. And I guess they are in some discussions with various congressional committees about how to structure appropriations in a way that would allow for that. It'll be interesting. There are models in the defense side where certainly that's been done because of the large-scale complexity programs, and yet they manage, annual execution with longer, with multi-year appropriations. So it's not that it's never happened.
Right. There are examples. It can be done.
It can be done.
Yeah.
Will that part of it be done quickly? I doubt it.
Yeah. One of the other aspects of this that I at least found very interesting is getting program managers involved from the very early on and ensuring that there's a program manager with every big project. It seemed like, if you were outside this community, you're going, hold on, that didn't happen before. Often challenging, though, to get for some of these big programs.
Well, it is interesting because there's really not a career track right now for program management in government. And I think there has been a coming realization that that is a very key part of the puzzle. And developing and recognizing the expertise of that is required to manage these large and complex programs is pretty fundamental. So I was very glad to see the focus on that.
And
similarly, we would like to see focus on the role of the COTAR.
Yeah.
The contracting officer's technical representative is the representative of the program manager who interfaces with the acquisition community and with the work that is under contract. And that's another role that is sometimes an other duties as assigned kind of role and turns out to be pretty critical to having effective performance management of contracts.
And why is that important to have almost that skill set in those COTARBs, in those technical contracting folks?
Because they operate right at that intersection. Their role is to represent the program manager in making sure that the program is getting out of its contracts exactly what it signed up and is expecting to get. And so it requires a knowledge of the program. It requires a knowledge of contracting. You're the bridge between the program community, which might be the CIO community or some other program, and the contracting community and the supplier or service provider. And you have to speak a lot of different languages. And so for a long time, for whatever reason, that role has rarely been given to people who have a skill set that supports it.
Hmm.
So teasing out the underlying management, the right first steps are being made. It will take time to put the career path in place to get people trained, but calling attention to it's the right thing to do.
I wanted to ask you about the role of the CIO, because there's some discussion in the Vivek Kundra's plan and talking about the role of the CIO. And I've heard Roger Baker, the current VA CIO, who I know you know well, talking around town, and his emphasis is the VA CIO a unique organization in that all money has to go through that office. IT spend doesn't happen if he doesn't have sign off on it. And he says that's a very, very incredible catalyst to actually bring about change.
I agree.
And how important is that, what I always call the power of the purse?
It's huge. One of the things that I, as you may recall, early on was given more authority over budgets, but they weren't in my organization. What I had was the power to say no. And that was huge at the time, to be able to stop things and to say no. But it's not enough to stop things. You've got to be able to start things and start them in a new and smarter and different way. So being able to directly manage the resources is hugely important to be able to start things in the right way and not just sort of have to negotiate back. It makes a lot of sense, and so I think they're absolutely on the right track.
Give me your sense. What are you going to be watching for in the next 3, 6, 9 months? What will give you an indication as to whether this is taking hold, whether this plan is actually coming together?
Well, they have set for themselves, they've set their goals and objectives. They've actually identified time frames where they are going to self-report what their degree of progress is or is not. And so we're all going to be able to watch that dashboard.
Yes. Get to watch it. We get to watch it and see whether they're actually making progress.
Yes.
Perfect.
One area that I do hope to see more alignment, as you know, we still do a lot of work in the acquisition space, but I was very, very glad to see the that Dan Gordon was on the stage with Jeff Zients and with Vivek as they rolled out this plan. But I think going forward, it's going to be important that the two of them really aligned their goals and objectives around these points as well, so that they're working in tandem.
And a lot of discussion. In fact, I saw Mr. Gordon on Friday, and a lot of talk from him about, hold on, we need to involve industry as much part of the discussions. We need to figure out ways to ensure that industry is part of the discussion all the way through the process.
Yes. They have been doing a lot of listening. Dan has been doing quite a bit of listening to industry, as, of course, has Vivek. And one of the things that they've heard over and over and over again is the communications are broken between government and industry. There is a climate of fear in government that is that it is a bad thing to do to talk for a government employee to talk to folks in the industry.
And even I hear from both industry and government people who say, I can't do it because the FAR says I can't. And at least Dan Gordon, the OFPP administrator, saying, not only can you, you should, you need to. In fact, you need to in order to make a project successful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's important because?
It's important because government wants to get good solutions to complex problems, and they want solutions that are cost-effective and timely. The best way to do that is to have open conversation about what the actual what you're trying to accomplish, what's your mission, what goal are you trying to accomplish, and allow people from to have a conversation between government and industry on what possible solutions are out there, so that when you finally do get to a time when the RFP comes out, it's crafted in a way that allows for smart solutions to be offered up, and you then have a much better chance of getting a solid program that is executable once you're under contract.